A national campaign has reached Milton Keynes, and you may well have seen the billboards across the city. Go Vegan World are trying to get people to think carefully about their use of animal products. Sandra Higgins is the founder and director of Go Vegan World. Sandra, for anyone who hasn't seen them yet, what do these billboards say?
Well, first of all, they encourage people to connect with other animals and to think about the ethics of their use of them. So they say things like dairy takes babies from their mothers, referring to the practice of removing newborn calves and goats and sheep from their mothers in the dairy industry. Humane milk is a myth. Don't buy it. Vegetarianism is not enough for the male chicks who are killed in the egg industry. They trust us. We torment them for eggs. They trust us, we torment them in research. Defenceless and innocent, yet we harm and kill her.
The thing is, listen, I'm a food writer, I love my food, and I'm not a vegan, although I completely respect people who are. The thing is, though, that when we're talking about milk production, when we're talking about eggs, when we're talking about eating meat, this is not a new modern phenomenon of the last 20 years, not a sign of a crumbling society. It's what we've always done, isn't it?
No, it's not actually. I can understand why you would think that, though, because that's what I used to think. It's not 20 years, but it's only 10,000 years, which is a very, very short time in the history of human evolution. And anthropological evidence suggests that there was a time when we didn't use other animals. Our physiology and our anatomy is certainly not designed to cope very well with eating other animals. But even if we did, there are lots of things that we've done forever, like rape and murder. Even if we did, the question is that now we have a choice, should we? And we shouldn't. There's no need for us to use other animals for any reason whatsoever.
But surely we're not likening milk consumption to rape and murder, are we?
The point I made was that there are lots of things that we used to do, like rape and murder, that we don't have to do. But actually, of course, every animal who is killed has their life taken from them unwillingly.
Is there not a case equally for saying that, you mentioned an anthropological view of the world, an evolutionary view of the world, that it is survival of the fittest, that there is a food chain, we are part of that food chain, animals are part of that food chain themselves, and the fact that we eat animal byproducts and the fact that we eat animals themselves is just a natural part of evolution?
No, it's not a natural part of evolution. It's something, as I said, we have a choice. So I wonder why we would even keep harping back to this notion that it's part of evolution. We don't have to eat them. We know that we are much healthier without them. We know that it's unjust. It's a form of violence. We know that there are lots of secondary disadvantages to our own health, to the environment, to the exploitation of workers, to world hunger. Veganism is a win-win situation. It benefits everyone. It benefits the animals. It benefits the environment that humans live in. It benefits our health. And we feel much better ourselves when we're not participating in unnecessary violence.
But then you're speaking for someone like myself who loves a fillet steak, and I feel quite good eating that fillet steak. I enjoy my cereal in the morning. I feel perfectly good having milk in the morning with my bran flakes. Surely if you talk about choice, it's my choice to enjoy that in the same way as it's your choice to be vegan.
No, it's not about choice when somebody else's choice is taken from them. So I wonder, do you know where your milk comes from that you use on your cereal, Nick? Do you know anything about the process?
I do, yes, and we even locally have some raw milk producers who I've used. There's one in King's Landing, there's one down Buckingham Way, and very nice their milk is too.
So how do you feel about the fact that someone who feels like you, a cow who feels like you, has her child taken from her so that you can have that milk when you could just as easily have a plant milk?
It's a very emotive view. Many people would say that cows, of course, they are sentient beings. They don't quite have the same linguistic, emotional, neurological development as human beings. That would mean
Actually, the science, in 2012, the Declaration of Consciousness was signed by some of the most prolific scientists in the world, including neuropsychologists. And it said that they have the same neurological substrates as humans. They are at least as conscious as us. They're actually much older species than us, and they could not have survived without that emotional bond with their children. So they have the same emotional bond with their children that we do. Even the dairy industry themselves go to great lengths to cope with the desperate stress of separation. They debate all the time, will we take the babies from them as they come out of the womb? Or will we let them have the colostrum? Or will the first 5 minutes of bonding cause so much stress afterwards that neither the mothers nor the calves will eat and that they cry all the time? So, you know, the science is quite clear. It's absolutely clear. And they have the same sentience as us. And if we wouldn't do it to another person, we should not do it to them. We can't feel good about ourselves when we do that.
I understand you saying that. You say it's only 10,000 years of our history as men, which of course is not a lot in terms of the age of the planet, but it is 10,000 years. It's very much enshrined in our culture. It's very much enshrined in our eating habits. Surely this is just a case of live and let live. And
live and let live.
Yeah, and if somebody like yourself,
7 billion humans kill 70 billion land animals unnecessarily. So precisely, live and let live. And even more than that, Nick, they were wild animals. They were free and they survived for millions, billions of years before we evolved. We trapped them and imprisoned them, and we control every facet of their life from the time they're born to how they live and how they die. And that is unjust, unnecessary. We use them for reasons that are trivial, like taste, convenience, and tradition. There are lots of things that we do to other humans that are enshrined in our culture, and we know they are wrong, and we're gradually outing every one of them. Every form of violence and discrimination, we are outing, and we're better for it.
Okay, so you're outing. How do you feel about someone like myself who has milk in the morning, someone like myself who does like a fried egg, someone like myself who has a particular penchant for a steak au poivre? How do you view me as a human being at that point?
You see, before I met the animals at the sanctuary that I run, I was like you. But the difference between us is that I didn't know. But now I have nursed hens, many of them, and I see them prolapsing while they lay eggs. And I couldn't be responsible for that happening another woman. And I couldn't be responsible for taking their freedom from them.
But hens are made to lay eggs on. Forgive me, isn't that what hens do? They lay eggs.
No, they don't. Hens are just like any other wild bird. In their wild state, in the jungles of Southeast Asia, where they still live, they're like a crow or a blackbird. They only lay eggs once or twice a year for the purposes of hatching their own children. But we have selectively bred them, as we have all the animals we use, to lay eggs every day, with the result that the rate of ovarian cancer is around 35% in very young hens. Give them a little bit longer, and of course they get a longer life in a place like this, in a sanctuary, the rate is 100%. The rate of spontaneous cancer is so high that they are used as a model to study human ovarian cancer.
Sandra, you haven't answered my question. How do you view me as somebody who is quite happy in a balanced diet to eat meat, drink milk, and fry an egg and enjoy those animal byproducts and indeed animal products themselves?
I find it difficult to understand you, and I feel very sad that you have the knowledge that you're causing this harm and that you have a choice. And I think that if you tried the different vegan options, you would see that you're not missing anything.
I'm afraid that avocado actually, chocolate mousse, I've tried it. I've really, really tried it, and I did it on my Sunday food program, and it was mashed avocado with cocoa, and I've got to be honest, it had nothing on six egg whites whipped up and
a whole nice non-violent philosophy on one single item. I mean, you see, you are putting your taste ahead of the lives of all the animals that you use every year.
What is the
you have to, you know yourself, I'm sure, you know that dogs and cats, you would not take the milk of a dog or a cat, you wouldn't take their babies from them and send them to a slaughterhouse.
What is the ultimate
and
aim of...
You categorise all the other animals according to the perceived use that they have to you. So it can't sit right in your heart, Nick.
Well, what is the ultimate aim of this campaign? Obviously, these billboards have reached Milton Keynes. What are you hoping to achieve by this?
I'm hoping that people will get information that they didn't have before about the injustice of animal use, that they will use the campaign as everybody else is using it to read the resources on the website, download the free vegan guide at goveganworld.com, and on foot of that, they'll see that the logical step for the animals and for all forms of injustice associated with animal use, they will go vegan.
Sandra, good luck with your campaign. As I say, it's reached Milton Keynes. Sandra Higgins is the founder and director of Go Vegan World. You'll see those billboards across Milton Keynes, those billboards which feature animals from Sandra's own sanctuary, where she looks after a wide gamut of animals, and where she wants to get the message across that eating or enjoying a vegan diet means that you're not killing animals' babies, you're not leading animals to suffer. It's a tricky one. I've got to be honest, I do love the balanced diet that I eat. I do enjoy milk, eggs, meat and the such like, and I would struggle greatly to maintain a vegan diet, but equally I'm sure many of you do maintain a vegan diet. In fact, January was Veganuary, wasn't it, where a number of you took up veganism just for the month. It's a balancing act, though, isn't it? Because it can be a fine line between being passionate about something and removing other people's choice to do what they want to do. It's Nick Coffer on BBC Three Counties.